Tomorrow night, the Canadian Ethnic Media Association hands out its annual awards, and this year, the award for excellence in podcasting goes to Survivor, the Ziva Gorani story.
No one wanted me, like, no one would say, like, oh, that's a boy, because I had that feminine energy that was so, like, kind of, like, you know, reserved, and I was, like, so much, like, you know, with, like, drawn into playing with the girls. I think that people would just saw me as a girl, and people, like, just would take me as a girl, and the thing that, the famous thing that people will keep telling my parents, and they'll get so pissed off that he should have been born a girl. He should not have been born a boy.
That's Ziva Gorani. As a Kurdish trans person born in Aleppo, Syria, Ziva's life was in constant danger. She survived rape, a suicide attempt, public threats before escaping to Turkey, eventually making her way here to Canada. Paul Nguyen is a creator and director of the podcast that tells the story of Ziva's life, and he and Ziva Gorani are with me in studio this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This is, and I just gave the very small sketch of what has been an eventful life for you. This is a very personal story that you tell in this podcast. What is it like to tell that story, given what you've gone through?
Well, I mean, there's no easy answer to that. Like, putting your life in public, I've started that, like, with the beginning of my career as an activist back in Turkey. I knew the risks on a personal level and also on a safety level. But to me, the consequence, not the consequence, I would say that, like, the result of what I'm doing, the impact of what I'm going to be doing, hopefully that will change people's life in the Middle East of marginalized communities. Because what I'm bringing on is not only about a specific story, because my story is a story of a lot of people who are born in Kurdish communities as indigenous people and oppressed for ages, for beyond what anyone can actually recognize and not get their recognition. And also as a trans person who did not, you know, like most of what I'm talking about, most of what I'm advocating for is that we were born into those things. We did not choose any of those labels and did not choose any of those identities. However, it's an identifier of our experience. It defines if we're going to have a good life or, in worst case scenario, if we're going to die. So putting all that account in my head, I take it all every time I speak about my story. Sorry for taking it too long. But
no, that's okay.
Yeah, because all of that, I keep it in count whenever I do a public speak, whenever I do a go out, and whenever I meet a journalist, because I know that even though I might not be seeing it right now, even though it will not create that big step forward, I know that one day it will create that... create that environment that people will be able to have conversation in the future.
Given that, what is it like to see the story recognized? I mean, it has to be difficult to go over some of those details, but then people have said, this is a powerful story and it's an important story, and you have a smile when I say that. What does it mean to see it recognized?
Yeah, I mean, I was once someone who has fought for so many reasons. Like, as I said, the fact that I had a Kurdish name, like, really shaped my life, even though I was 5 years old. Mm. The fact that I was speaking a different language, I did not know how to speak Arabic very well. The fact that I was feminine, the fact that I was growing up, I was only losing the right to be a human until I actually reached an age after 2011 with the start of the war in Syria. I recognized and I realized that I have no existence and I'm not a human, and any part about me is responded with hate. And I will never find a place that I can actually be able to advocate and exist in any of those places. Mm. So to find myself after all of those at the age of 29, that actually people are seeing those labels as from a place of power and a place of resilience, it's beyond expression. I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of the people that they're actually giving that space for me to be able to speak. I'm very proud of the society. I'm very proud of Canada. I'm very proud of, like, the Syrian activist community, everyone community, before even being proud of myself.
Paul, why did you want to tell this story?
Well, you know, I met Ziva online, and I read about her story, and I was surprised that this remarkable story was not covered in a major way yet. So I thought this was a good opportunity for my website to kind of like touch upon this story. And plus, you know, my parents were Vietnamese boat people, so we do have a relationship, a connection with the Syrian people. And for me, I thought it was a good opportunity to tell her story, to bring it to a bigger audience, and also for, you know, an opportunity for my website to expand, to go beyond the things that we always do, which is racial discrimination. So this was a great story, and I thought it should be heard.
Can you tell me a bit more just about that connection that you felt? I mean, we've talked about this before, that the outpouring of support for Syrian refugees to a lot of people echoed what happened when, as you say, Vietnamese immigrants arrived here as well. Personally, what did you feel as that connection?
I think even the Vietnamese people, when they first arrived, we had a lot of like normal Canadians just reach out, try to help people, you know, integrate them to society. And, you know, when the Syrian refugees came, there was a lot of Vietnamese people in the community that actually reached out and were trying to help, you know, getting furniture, you know, baby cribs and supplies and stuff like that. So we're connected in a way, in through spirit. So, you know, it's really nice to, you know, meet Ziva and be able to, you know, share her story.
And what does it mean that story has been recognized? I mean, we heard a little bit of what she thought. What for you, what does it mean that story gets the nod?
It's great. I think it's something that I want to share with, you know, the world. And for the website to be recognized again, you know, for this podcast, it's a tremendous honor. Yeah. And we're just very happy to show that, you know, people at janefisher.com can go beyond the racial stuff, and then we can share stories that are global.
We just have a minute or so left, Ziva. Before I let you go, given what you've been through and the place that you're in now, what is it that's motivating you now?
I hope.
Hope?
I have a lot of hope, even though given all of the things that's happening around the world, whether it's happening in Yemen, if it's happening in Syria, if it's happening any part, I have hope that there are a lot of people like me who are like, and people who wants to make this change and want to see a different future for the next generations. I have little care about my life because I have maybe probably 50 years left ahead of me, but I'm planning to build a life for hundreds of years for the generations next.
Given the news, not just of today, but what has felt like a long list of bad news, we'll take that hope and live in that. Thank you for being here, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
What a story. And we'll send people to the podcast to hear it.
Perfect.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Inyan is the creator of a podcast about the life of Ziva Gurani. Ziva Gurani is the subject of this incredible story. Survivor, the Ziva Gurani story, will be honored with a 2018 Canadian Ethnic Media Association Award tomorrow night. If you'd like to find out more, we'll put the link up on Twitter at Metro Morning.